Let's turn in our Bible to Matthew chapter 6 as we complete this evening our study of this model that Jesus has given us as his disciples for prayer. Luke chapter 6, I'll read the model in its entirety, but this evening we'll be looking at the last verse. Matthew 6 verse 9, Jesus says, "Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And then, of course, we have a parallel in Luke 11, where on another occasion, Jesus gave a very similar model to his disciples for prayer. And I put in the top of your notes that on that occasion, Jesus simply said, "And lead us not into temptation." Word for word is identical to the first line that we will study tonight in Matthew 6:13. It's just that in Matthew 6:13, that is elaborated with a second line, "But deliver us from evil." So we're focusing tonight on this part, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now, this flows naturally out of the last petition. If you look back at verse 12, it was, "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors," teaching us to confess our sins on a daily basis to our Heavenly Father, seeking His fatherly forgiveness. Now, if this request for forgiveness is produced by the Holy Spirit, this request for forgiveness is going to come from a heart that no longer cherishes the sin that we are asking to be forgiven of. A heart that instead hates the sin that we have committed. And this hatred of the sin that we have committed, this hatred of the sin that we have confessed to God and asked Him to forgive us of, this hatred leads us to the request in verse 13, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." If you truly hate sin and you see that sin has been in your life, then you're going to naturally cry out to God, "Lead us not into temptation. I do not want to repeat this sin that I have just confessed to you. Deliver me from evil." Now, there's a lot there that we need to unpack. But I want to continue to have us think about the connection with the previous verse before we unpack it. Also, when we are asking for forgiveness, not only should that be coming from a hatred of our sin, but also in confessing our sin, we are taking responsibility, like we talked about last time, for our sin. There's no justifying what we did. There's no blaming our sin on someone else or some circumstance, but we're taking full responsibility. That's a humbling thing to do. To acknowledge, "I am fully responsible for this terrible offense that I have committed against you, Heavenly Father." Now, the humility that is expressed in taking responsibility for our sin should teach us to make the humble request of verse 13, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Being humbled by the fact that we are responsible for our sin should lead us to think, "Well, why do I think that I am going to suddenly be able to resist temptation in my own strength now? How can I think that I will somehow be able to overcome the attacks of the evil one in the future? Since I've done this in the past, I'm fully responsible. Now I must cry out to God in humility. I am prone to sin again. So I desperately need you to keep me from temptation. I desperately need you to deliver me from evil. Now, this request that the Lord would not lead us into temptation is a request that also recognizes God's sovereignty over our steps. I love the Proverbs 16:9 that says, "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." In other words, you know, we have our plans for what we're going to do, but the Lord is determining our actual steps. And many times what he determines for us is not what we've planned. He's sovereign over our lives. He's sovereign over the steps that we take. Now we're acknowledging this very thing in the request, "Lead us not into temptation." Though God does not tempt anyone, James 1:13 is very clear about that. God does not tempt anyone. It's contrary to his nature to tempt one to sin. He sometimes does lead people into a place where they will be tempted by the devil. Turn over to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Just two chapters back. Matthew 4, 1, we see Jesus led into a place of being tempted by the devil. It says in this verse, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." The Holy Spirit of God led Jesus into this place where Jesus would be tempted by the devil. That was the Spirit's purpose in leading him there, was so that he would be tempted by the devil. Think of how the Lord sovereignly led Job into temptation. God was completely sovereign over the temptation. Now, who was tempting Job? Satan was tempting him. Satan requested permission from Almighty God to take all kinds of things away from Job in order to tempt Job to curse God and to deny his former faith in God. And Satan could only do that tempting of Job by the permission of God. And God granted that. Now Jesus tells us to pray in Luke 6:13, "Lead us not into temptation." Lord, if it would be, if you would be willing to do so, do not lead me into temptation. Don't put me into the position that you put Jesus in that wilderness where he was tempted severely by the devil. If you would be pleased, do not put me into the position of Job, where all those things were taken away from him in severe temptation. Lead me, if it be pleasing to you, lead me not into that place of being tempted by the devil. This is a request that acknowledges our utter weakness and our Heavenly Father's supreme strength. Jesus said something very similar. On the night in which he was betrayed, he took his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he took his three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, further than the rest. And he told them to pray and to watch. And he was going a little bit further on to pray by himself. Now he comes back and Peter, James, and John are asleep instead of watching and praying. And Jesus says to them in Matthew 26:41, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." It wasn't a problem with the Spirit. Right? The Holy Spirit was renewing the spirits of Jesus' disciples so that they willed, they desired to follow Jesus' instruction and to watch and to pray. But their flesh was weak. And because their flesh was weak, he said, pray that you will not enter into temptation. And that's the idea in what we are studying. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We've been renewed in our minds. We have the desire to resist temptation, the desire to obey God, to love Him with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. But our flesh is weak. And because our flesh is weak, we are to pray, lead us not into temptation. We don't trust ourselves in the face of temptation to do the right thing, to do the thing that we desire to do. Now, I want you to contrast the weakness of the first Adam with the strength of the second Adam. Think of how weak Adam was in the Garden of Eden. Right? It didn't take much temptation to get Adam to fall into sin. You simply had a serpent talking to Eve while Adam was right there questioning what God had said. You had Eve offering the forbidden fruit to Adam, and Adam gave right in. Very weak. Now contrast the weakness of the first Adam with the strength of the second Adam. Satan throws everything he has at Christ when Christ is in that wilderness for 40 days. Christ is physically weak. He's been fasting for the full 40 days in a very desolate place, a hot place, a place that makes you weak. And he resisted perfectly every assault of the evil one, resisted every temptation that the evil one sent against him. And that was not the end of Christ being tempted, because it says at the end of that section in Matthew 4 that the devil left Jesus until an opportune time. There was an opportune time later on when the devil returned to Jesus and resumed the temptation. The devil must have tempted Christ on numerous occasions throughout his earthly life. But we see that temptation in Gethsemane at the time when he's told his disciples to pray and they are weak in their flesh. And Christ always resisted perfectly. There's his strength. And he didn't just resist the evil one, he defeated the evil one in going to the cross and paying for our sins and in the resurrection. Now, we, apart from Christ, we are just as weak as Adam was, the first Adam. Now, in Christ, as Christ strengthens us, all of Christ's strength is flowing through us. But, apart from Christ, we're no different from the first Adam. Just think of how weak we have shown ourselves in the past to be in the face of temptation. I know for me personally, again and again, it has not taken much temptation before I yield and I give in. Right? I'm embarrassed to say that I, when the temptation gets strong, I typically don't fight against it very long. I don't persevere too long in that fighting before I give in. I'm no different from Adam in and of myself. I am weak. Now Jesus, in Matthew 6:13, in saying, pray and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, he's teaching us to acknowledge in prayer to our Father our utter weakness. Lord, I don't have in and of myself the strength to resist these temptations. I don't have it in and of myself. I don't have the power in and of myself to overcome these sins that have been in my past. I don't have it in me. But we are not to rest in our weakness. We're to acknowledge our weakness, but not to rest in it. Sometimes we rest in our weakness. You know, when temptation comes, we say, I'm weak. so I'm going to give in. That's resting in our weakness. This prayer teaches us not to rest in our weakness, but to resolve to avoid temptation. Now, you cannot sincerely pray, lead us not into temptation, if you are consciously walking into temptation. It would just be so hypocritical, so insincere to pray while I'm walking right into the temptation situation where I know I'm going to be greatly tempted. How can I possibly sincerely pray, lead me not into temptation? This prayer teaches us to resolve to avoid temptation. You know, we need to avoid friendship with the world. When we are friends with the world, James 4 says we are enemies of God. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. When I am becoming friends with the world, I am putting myself right into temptation's way. We are to resolve not to be friends with the world. We are to resolve to avoid places of temptation. We know from past times where we've been tempted and we've been given in, we know what places we will face temptation if we go there again. By praying, lead us not into temptation, it's teaching us to resolve to avoid those places that we know we cannot handle. It's teaching us to avoid tempting material. Right? If you know that a certain movie is going to arouse the passions of the flesh, you know it's going to tempt you in certain ways, then you need to resolve to avoid that movie. All right? Lead us not into temptation. We need to resolve to avoid unnecessary stress. We know how prone we become to giving into temptation when we get physically drained, in different situations where we're just unduly stressed. We know that makes us more liable to temptation. So resolve to avoid that if possible. Lead us not into temptation. May this be a sincere prayer from our lips. This prayer also teaches us to desperately cry out to the Father for deliverance from evil. Rather than resting in our weakness, we are to passionately call out to God, deliver us from this evil. Rather than making peace with it, we're crying out for deliverance. Now, the English Standard Version translates this, deliver us from evil. The New King James and NIV translate it, deliver us from the evil one. The original language can be translated either way. And there's good arguments for interpreting it in both of these ways. I think in a situation like this, it's wise to go with the broader meaning. Certainly, if we speak of evil in general, like we have in the ESV, deliver us from evil, certainly that encompasses deliver us from the evil one. But it also includes more than delivering us from the evil one. This is a model prayer. It's giving us an outline. And we are to elaborate on this prayer and to pray that God would deliver us from the schemes of the evil one. He has his schemes. He's like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He's crafty. He uses deceit. He uses false teaching. He uses all kinds of things that are at his disposal. We're to pray for deliverance from his schemes. We're to pray for deliverance from the evil in our hearts. There still is a rebellion that dwells within the believer's heart that we will not be completely freed from until glorification. Lord, deliver me from this indwelling sin. Deliver me from this rebellion that I still have within me. Deliver me from the influence of the flesh, the influence of the old self and all its depravity. Deliver me from the sinful thoughts that have been in my mind. Deliver me from the sinful words that have been coming out of my mouth. Deliver me from the sinful actions that I have been doing. It's not enough to ask for forgiveness. We must move on to deliver us from the practice of these things. Deliver us from future occurrences of these sins. That raises a question for us to think about. Do we actually pray for deliverance from evil? We know that we are to depend upon Christ, depend upon the Father, depend upon the Spirit for victory against temptation. But do we, in seeking to depend upon the Lord, do we actually in prayer cry out to the Father to deliver us? We probably at this moment think, well, when I will be in the face of temptation, I will try to cry out for deliverance, but sometimes it's too late. Because of how prone we are to sin, sometimes things happen very quickly. And the next moment after you know you're being tempted, you're already giving in to the temptation. So we are to pray on a daily basis, deliver us from evil. That prayer, deliver us from evil, would be running through our mind throughout the day. We'd be preparing for the temptations that will be coming against us in the day with this prayer, deliver us from evil. And the more specific we can be, the better. I found it so helpful when C.J. Mahaney was teaching us about looking forward to what can we expect will be the temptations that we will face in the next day. Or say, you're leading your family on a vacation. What are going to be the temptations that we will face on this vacation as a family? We know from our past experiences what sorts of temptations will probably come our way in the different situations that we are in. Right? Just think about past history. It's very wise to think regularly, what are going to be the temptations, and then pray for deliverance from those specific temptations that we expect to face down the immediate road. We are to think on our Father's power to deliver. We're not to just think about our weakness. We're to think about that power of God that Christ relied upon. Now, Christ, who is our example, He chose to live as an authentic human being. And so we see Him living in dependence upon the Spirit, which suggests to us that when He resisted temptation, it was not so much that He was resisting temptation in His own strength, but He was relying upon the strength of the Spirit, relying upon the power of His Father to overcome temptation. And in this way, He's a model for us. Now think about the power of God that enabled Christ to be victorious in the wilderness and all throughout His ministry. This is the power of our God. And so we can pray with confidence to our Father, deliver us from evil, knowing the power that is at His disposal, the power that He makes available to us as we take hold of Him in faith. Now, this request is a request that the Father delights to answer. You don't need to hold on to Matthew 6 as we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 10 and look at verses 11 and following. 1 Corinthians 10 brings up the negative example of our forefathers who were in the wilderness wanderings. And you remember how God blessed the Israelites in the wilderness immensely. And yet, they continued in resistance to the will of God. They continued in rebellion and in dissatisfaction and idolatry and so forth. And God judged them severely in the wilderness. Let's pick it up in verse 11. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. There we have that humility that we were talking about earlier. Let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. There is the sovereignty of God over our steps that we saw earlier. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. The Lord may see fit to put us in the face of temptation, as he did to Job. But regardless of the temptation that we face, we can know that the Lord will answer our prayer by providing a way of escape. He will always provide a way of escape for his people, so that we will be able to endure it in the strength that he supplies. He delights to answer this prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And may we seek to pray prayers that we know our Father delights to answer, like this one. Do you have any questions about anything that we have seen, or any comments on this to edify us? Boys first.
That it's recorded that he was tempted not once but daily. And what he did, what he told Potiphar's wife is, he told her the blessings that the Lord has given him. Potiphar has made him manager of everything he owns. So he reminded probably himself as well of what God has done. To me, if I knew that,
And think of how reminding ourselves of these things that God has done for us falls under that head of our Father in heaven. Just looking at his fatherly care for us, and it all fits together. Ivers.
I guess most of us are aware of preparation, discipline, diligence, and training. I mean, these are prerequisites. You can't go to war unless you're fully armed. And if you don't have the helmet of salvation and a breastplate of righteousness and various other things that you need, you're not fully equipped. And sometimes there's an erroneous belief that we can overcome this in our own strength.
Right.
Okay? That's the problem that sometimes foolishly.
Mm-hmm.
We undercalculate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like what Terry Campbell once said when he was working in the office and he was trying to keep his eyes, shut his eyes from evil.
Mm-hmm.
While he was doing it, he walked into a pole.
I remember that.
Rather funny.
Mm-hmm.
But he was being truthful because he was trying not to look where the enemy was leading him.
Right. Yep.
However, Jesus was perfectly diligent and disciplined in his walk.
Mm-hmm.
There's very little mention of him as he's growing up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He was the model child.
Mm-hmm.
He would obey his father, not his earthly father, but his heavenly father, more so than his earthly parents.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept neither to the left nor to the right.
Mm-hmm.
He walked in a straight line, obedient to the Father's will.
Yes.
We're not always doing that.
No.
That's why, you know, we run into all kinds of difficulties.
Yes.
But we think about it after that has occurred, you know, well, we fouled up there because we didn't prepare ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do a better job next time.
Yes.
However, God's perseverance and mercy
upon
us,
yeah.
He allows us. But again, your various trials are needed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. That he may send for you to learn something from that trial.
Right.
What do we normally do? We run away
from it. Right.
But that is the wrong thing to do, is to understand what this is trying to show us.
Yes, yes. As we pray along these lines, our heart is being changed. The values of our heart, what we set our heart upon. And so then it should be a fruit of praying this, that we are taking that responsibility to do everything that we can to prepare ourselves for that spiritual battle. Good point. Anyone else? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We thank you that this is a request that you delight to hear on our lips, and a request that you delight to answer. Oh Lord, may we increasingly pray along these lines. When we wake up in the morning and throughout the day, Lord, may you give us a stronger hatred of sin. Lord, may you give us a greater sense of our weakness and a greater sense at the same time of your surpassing power. We thank you that the same power by which you raised Christ from the dead, you make available to us, that we may receive through faith in you. We pray, Father, that you would indeed give us discernment to recognize the schemes of the evil one being played out in opposition against us. Lord, give us eyes to see through his lies. Lord, may you renew our minds with the truth. And we pray, Father, that we would never depend upon ourselves, but always entirely upon you for the victory. And we thank you, Father, that when we lose the battle, there is that forgiveness that you spoke of in the previous verse. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.